From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Anyone looking for a big party? Green Bay's where it's at. Fans are heading into Lambeau Field this hour to welcome their Super Bowl champs, the Packers, who defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. Classes were let out early. Some businesses shut down for the big celebration. It's been nonstop work for Tim Clemmie, though, manager of the sports bar Stadium View, but he says it's a big deal.
Green Bay is the smallest market team. You know, town's only 102,000 people, and for them to win the Super Bowl, it's a big deal. You can probably expect more than half the city to be at Lambeau Field.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, meanwhile, is apologizing to the hundreds of fans who had to give up their seats at the Super Bowl because of structural issues with temporary seating. He says the league ran out of time to make last-minute fixes. Goodell is inviting those fans who were forced to watch Green Bay's defeat of the Steelers on monitors or some other way a free seat to the big game next year. The NFL also says it will refund the affected fans at three times the face value of their tickets. The Obama administration has started the process of taking Sudan off a terrorism list. As NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports, this is a diplomatic reward to Khartoum for allowing southern Sudan to secede.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton congratulated northern and southern Sudanese leaders for facilitating a peaceful and orderly independence vote in southern Sudan. In a written statement, she commended Khartoum for accepting the outcome. As spokesman P.J. Crowley says, the U.S. will now keep its pledge to consider taking Sudan off a terrorism blacklist.
We will begin the process of removing Sudan from the state sponsor of terrorism list with the obvious qualification that Sudan has to meet the criteria under law before that action could be taken.
Sudan's foreign minister came to Washington recently to encourage this move, arguing that recent U.S. reports have shown that Sudan is cooperating with the U.S. on counterterrorism. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Still no end in sight to 2 weeks of anti-government demonstrations in the Egyptian capital. Despite recent concessions, President Hosni Mubarak's allies have offered, the thousands gathered in Cairo's Tahrir Square say the only thing that will make them leave is if Mubarak leaves as well. An investigation is underway into shootings yesterday at an Ohio fraternity house. A Youngstown State University senior was killed. 11 other people were wounded, including a critically injured 17-year-old. Police say they have arrested two people. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 67 points at 12,159, also up more than 0.5%. NASDAQ gaining 14, it's at 2784. S&P 500 up 8 at 1319. This is NPR News. The French finance minister says the euro has fallen victim to American and Chinese policies to weaken their currencies. From Paris, Eleanor Beardsley reports French President Nicolas Sarkozy has set out to reform the international monetary system as France prepares to host the G20 this year.
Foreign Minister Christine Lagarde says the euro is too high because it is caught in the middle between two currencies that are deliberately weak. China has been accused of keeping its yuan low to support its export markets, and world economists say the U.S., by using tactics like quantitative easing and printing money to buy its own debt, is also deflating the dollar to spur American exports. The international monetary system relies too heavily on the U.S. dollar, says Sarkozy, which leads fast-growing countries like China to amass huge dollar-denominated currency reserves that cause global volatility. Sarkozy says he's not trying to displace the dollar, but says the new global reality of emerging economies and economic powerhouses like Europe should be reflected by several reserve currencies or a basket of currencies. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Paris.
Carnival in Brazil is suffering a potentially major setback with less than a month before that big event. Today, a large fire swept through a warehouse complex that housed thousands of intricately designed costumes and floats that samba groups took as long as a year to create. The cause of the blaze is still under investigation. Authorities say there were no immediate reports of injuries. However, the loss is being described as, quote, tremendous for a country that typically attracts hundreds of thousands of tourists for carnival in Brazil each year. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington.